It's okay to be different, but the difference is in Jesus Christ, not in the world. So it's okay to be different. If you're in Christ Jesus, it's okay to be different. How many are different? Some of you are the same as the pew or what? Everybody's different, aren't you? I mean, think about this. Paul is writing in Romans, and later in 1 Corinthians, he talks about the church. And you can take that as big as you want or as small as you want. We are Leesville Faith Community Chapel. We are the body of Jesus Christ in this building today. Every person in this building is different. That's what makes up the body. As Paul writes in Romans and then in 1 Corinthians, every part moves individually and has a specific purpose within the body. Do you? If you're here, you have a part of the body and ultimately the body of Christ. You're different than everybody else here. It's okay to be different. I would not want to be in a church where everybody's the same. I'm not quite sure what you would accomplish. I think probably there's a lot of fighting because you're all the same. So I'm not going politically correct here. In the person of Jesus Christ, it's okay for you to be different. Matter of fact, we need that within the church. Today is Mother's Day, and I'll be quite honest and completely open. I am not the big preacher for it's a special day. Now, Resurrection Day is a pretty special day. Amen. But even on Resurrection Day, we spent weeks getting to Resurrection Day. Christmas is a big day. It's celebration of the birth of Jesus. Amen. Doesn't have to be December 25th. Hopefully it's all year. But we led up to that too. So I'm not the big person that looks at the church calendar and go, oh, this is a special day in the church, so let's have a sermon on that. But this year is different. This year, I don't know how to explain it, but God does impress you. And so today's sermon aims toward moms. It aims toward the ladies of the church. But guys, keep this in mind. According to the letter sent from Paul to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful in teaching, reproof, correction, and training. So even though the message is aimed at ladies, guys, there's going to be something that causes you to go, oh, that must be for me. I find the Holy Spirit absolutely fascinating with his ability to make God's word fit in each and everyone's specific case. So the only time you come in to get a message and it doesn't feed you is if you're not coming in hungry, because God's got something every time for each person here. I made sure as I come to the first thought of introducing this sermon was to make sure that the name I use is not anyone's name in here. So I think I'm okay. Little Billy walked into his mom's bedroom, and there he saw his mom sitting at a table and with a mirror in front of it, and she was putting on some white junk. Billy asked his mom, Mom, what are you doing? And she said, I'm putting on moisturizer cream. And he said, what's that do? And she says, it makes my skin soft and it makes me beautiful. He stood there and watched. Pretty soon, Mom took a Kleenex and started to wipe off the moisturizer cream. And Billy asked, you're not giving up already, are you? That's from a guy's point of view. A mother was giving advice to her daughter. She says, cook a man a fish and you feed him for a day, but teach a man to fish and you get rid of him for the whole weekend. Today, I want to take a look at two ladies. You know them very well. We visited them a few weeks ago. So you know them, and I'm not sure how it works out, but it seems like about every other year at Bible school, we talk about these two ladies. It seems like in the Bible lesson, every other year there's going to be the story of these two ladies. We were actually at their home a few weeks ago. I think you know them, and I think you know about them. They were sisters. And it seemed like these sisters were complete opposites. They were completely different from each other. And that's okay. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Make your way to Luke chapter 10. A story that I think probably most everyone here is familiar with. We have run into these two sisters before. Matter of fact, we're going to visit them at the same spot we visited them a few weeks ago. But here, we are first introduced to Martha and Mary. They were the sisters of Lazarus, Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. Just so I know you're on the same continent, what village were they at? Okay, they were at Bethany. Bethany is on the east, sort of east of Jerusalem. It's on the east slope of a pretty well-known mountain, Mount of Olives. What's so great about the Mount of Olives is Jesus ascended from there. What's so great about the Mount of Olives? It's where he's coming back. So this mount is, boy, it's so, and if you're there, you can't miss it. But Bethany sits on the east slope. That's where Jesus was. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered Bethany, a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Now, which person, Martha or Mary, would you rather have been in that encounter? Which one would you rather be, Martha or Mary? Why? These two sisters are completely opposite. They're different. Now look at Martha. She is a doer. She's this, and I don't know, because I don't know if it tells us in Scripture, but I get the impression that she's the older sister, and I don't know why, but I'm assuming that she's the older one of the two. I don't think that's in Scripture anywhere. If somebody can help me, I would appreciate that, but I'm not sure that it says which one's older, but I sort of get the impression that Martha seems to be the older one for me. But she is the doer. She is the woman who cannot sit still. Now remember, I asked, which one would you rather be, Martha or Mary? And most everybody said, "I'd rather be Mary." But the fact of the matter is, some of you are Marthas. And I know some men in here, honestly, that are Marthas. She was a doer. She could not sit still. She had to be doing something. It was who she was. So is it okay to be a Martha? To always be busy, always doing something, can't sit still. Well, that's really great to say, yes, it's good to be that way. But look at what Jesus does with her. He says, "Martha, you really need to pay attention to your sister, because she's completely different than this." Mary is a coaster. Mary is not consumed with doing something, and Martha is. Martha's in the process of now having guests in her home. Here comes Jesus and his disciples, and Martha realizes we're having company. That's what they called it back then. Some of you still say, we got company coming. But the house had to be acceptable for Jesus. So I imagine Martha's got the broom out or the Hoover or the Shark, whatever they had. And she was cleaning the house, dusting it. She was in the process of preparing a meal. You know Martha, she's a doer. And she looks over and she sees Mary doing absolutely no work. And Martha says, Lord, tell her to get up and do the dishes. And then Jesus sort of comes back at Martha a little bit and really puts her in her place. And he says, Martha, Martha. And by the way, when Jesus repeats himself, you know, if Jesus says, truly, I say to you, you pay attention. But if he says, truly, truly, you better really pay attention. He doesn't just say, Martha. He says, Martha, Martha, pay attention. Mary has chosen the better portion. Now, if you're a Martha, that is a slap in the face. Because Martha is geared to be busy. She is the doer. I don't know how long Jesus would have had to stay there before Martha got the place good enough. But she's always doing something, and she expected Mary to do the same. Mary's different. Mary's the coaster. I'm not helping with supper, really not hungry. I'm not dusting or sweeping. I'm not even setting the table because Jesus is here. Mary is that type of person that fell into the category a few years ago. There was a song that was pretty popular called, Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's Mary. Jesus is here. That's all I need. I don't need food. I don't need to clean the house. Jesus is here. Now we find these two sisters completely opposite. Martha did have a gift. It was called hospitality. She wanted everything perfect for the Lord. She focused on getting everything just right. And Mary's going, Jesus is here. Now, if you're keeping score, Mary has one, Martha, zero. But what's really interesting is you have already chosen a side. Which one fits you the best? Are you a coaster? Are you a, I just want to sit at the feet of Jesus? Or are you the doer? These things need to be done. You've chosen one side already because you are a Martha or a Mary. And because of who you are, you have already chosen one of these two ladies. They're your example. Now, I know some of you well enough to, I can look right at you and say, you're a Martha, you're a Mary. But I can tell you this, in the church, it's okay to be different. The important thing is, are you in Jesus Christ? Mary has one, Martha zero. John chapter 11. We were here a few weeks ago. We know exactly everything that took place. Jesus now receives a message that his best friend, one of his buddies, has passed away. We now understand why Jesus said, oh, well, I realize he's sick, but we're going to stay here two more days. Everyone realizes why Jesus did that, because the glory of God was going to shine. Is it more awesome to heal somebody that's sick or to raise a dead person to life? Jesus had to wait 2 days, and Lazarus died. Jesus and his disciples are now making their way back to Bethany to now see the family. Jesus knows what he's going to do, but they're headed back to the house in Bethany. John chapter 11, go to verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. So Lazarus was somewhere dead around 5 days at the minimum. They would have needed time to prepare the body before it went in the tomb. So he had been in the tomb 4 days. At least he had been dead for 5 days. Now, Israel tends to get a little warm at times. And probably somebody who has died 5 days earlier is probably, Old Spice is not going to cover up that smell. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, the exact same thing Martha said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Period. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" You see, we already have a picture of Martha and Mary. Martha is the doer. Mary is the coaster. The first encounter with Jesus, it seems like Mary won. But this is a different episode with the same sisters. As Jesus is approaching the village, who is the one who runs out to meet him? It's not Mary. It's Martha. Both sisters were mourning and grieving over the loss of their brothers. Mary hears that Jesus is on his way and remains in the house, seated there. Her statement is to the Lord, "If you would have only been here, he would not have died." Martha's a little bit different. Martha's brother was Lazarus also. Martha was mourning and grieving over the loss of her brother. She had said the exact same thing that Mary said, "Lord, if you would have been here, he would not have died." When Martha hears that Jesus is on his way, Martha runs out to meet the Lord. And maybe the greatest thing in this passage we pass up. Look at verse 22. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. You see, it's okay to be different. If you're in Christ Jesus, look at what has just happened with Martha. She runs up to Jesus and says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But whatever you ask of God, he will give you. What's Martha really telling the Lord? Even though my brother is dead, you have the capability of raising him from the dead because you are Jesus. Look at the faith this woman has. Even though this guy has been dead 4 days, at least in the tomb 4 days, Jesus, he is dead. But Jesus, if you command him to rise, he will do it. Look at the faith of this woman. By the way, if you're keeping score, Mary has one, Martha has one, and everyone sitting here is either a Mary or a Martha. You know which one you are. Most people here know which one you are. More importantly, you're sitting there going, well, I'm a Martha. I'm a Mary. Because you know who you are. But it's okay to be different. If you are in Christ Jesus, why is it okay to be different? Because that's the way God has the church, the body of Christ, set up. That we're not all the same. We are all different. We all have our specialties. You all are peculiar people. And there's a reason for that. Is when God set this church up, if he had people all the same, you get sidetracked. Now, if the whole church can't wait to go out and evangelize people, what we have is a church full of evangelists. And that's not going to work. Not for the good of the body, because you are all on one mission to save as many people as you can get saved. But what are you going to do in the church? You see, in the church, we're also to teach and disciple. We're to baptize, but we can't because there's nobody here, because you're all out saving people. Is saving people important? Is discipleship important? Yeah. So we need people who are different. We need people who cannot just sit and be still. They got to be doing something. We go on mission trips. This year will not be any different. We're here. But there's times in which Jonter drives me nuts. John, I love you. But he tends to be different than me. When I've worked all day on a job site and I come back for one thing that's in my mind right now. When do we eat? John comes back, the guy drives me nuts. Because he's out in the kitchen trying to help Karen. He wants to do dishes or he's doing something. You got to slow John down sometimes. Because he's a Martha. Do we need that in the church? You better believe that. Now, is it good to be a Mary? Thank you, it's good to be a Mary. Now, if I pick out a Mary here, somebody's going to go, yeah, but they're a coaster. Look at Mary. She's the one that could not wait to be fed by Jesus. She's the one sitting at his feet saying, I don't know what you got for us today, Lord, but whatever it is, I'm right here. Do we need those people in the church? Amen. We need those people in the church. They have a purpose in this church. It's to keep the Marthas in line. To help the Marthas realize, hey, at some point in time, you got to stop and just sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what he has to say. Do we need Marthas in the church? We need Marthas in the church that sometimes grabs Mary and say, yeah, but this needs done. But it's okay to be different. It's actually scriptural to be different. There's one thing that Martha and Mary had in common. One thing. You can't take that away from either of them. They had one thing in common. They loved Jesus Christ. So Martha loved Jesus even more than preparing a meal. Mary loved Jesus more than just sitting there listening to what he had to say. And we need this in the church. People are different. Do you believe God has gifted you in at least one area? Everyone here, God has given some special gift or talent to. You know, when you make your way on a mission trip, lots of times that will be part of the discussion in the evening is, what did you see in a person today that you want to highlight? And you know, I was just thinking, I can't ever remember being in that circle and somebody saying, well, we were working on the roof and this guy sloughed off all day and didn't do anything. I've never heard that, because everybody's got a purpose, a gift that God has given them. Years and years ago, matter of fact, it was 2004, and I remember 2004 because when I was at Hannon Electric, I had to do service calls, despised service calls. I hated them things. But guess what? You're going to go do this. So I had been to Johnstown, Pennsylvania quite a few times. Matter of fact, I had even been on the street of the one guy that we was working for. And I remember his name was John Raymore. He could barely see. His wife had died in the house, and so had his daughter, both in the same room. So John couldn't even go in that room anymore. John had trouble seeing, had just trouble just functioning. His roof leaked. Walked down his basement steps and the bottom two steps were gone. There's no lights in the basement until you walk down the steps and clear across the basement and then pull a chain and one light comes on. I'll bet that was a good trip. We put a bathroom in a bedroom for John. And we finished up that job at 10:30 on Friday evening. We were leaving Saturday morning. And everybody, there was like 20 people, and they were doing everything. They were going everywhere. And I come down the steps, and there's two girls. Rachel, I'm not sure if you were one. I know one, but I'm not. There was two. One sitting on each side of John Raymore. And they were doing absolutely nothing. Ticked me off. Because everybody else is just busting this to get this job done. And these two girls are sitting on the couch watching TV with John. Guess who the Marys were? That's one of those that comes back and slaps you in the face later on. They had their purpose. They had their gift. Could they put a toilet in? No. Could they paint? Well, I headed up the paint crew. But the gift that they had, they were using for the Lord. You know, it was really funny because John never said too much about the new bathroom, but he was always talking about the two girls who were sitting watching TV with him. Does everyone here have a special gift from God, a special talent? Raise your hand. Everyone here has something. Some of you are Marys. You are enthralled by the teaching and the love of Jesus Christ. And if you're spending time, that's where you are. Some of you are Marthas. Got to keep working. Got to stay busy. We got to keep doing this. We got to keep going. You see, God has gifted each and every person here. Aggravates me a little bit when somebody says, oh, got no talents, got nothing special I can do. If that's the case, who are you really blaming? If you're not special, if you don't have a talent, who are you blaming? God. You're saying, he never gave me anything. Is it a special gift, a talent, to play the piano? Thank God for the ones who can play that thing. I have trouble picking any note. I don't know what a note is. Used to be able to play chopsticks. Can't even do that. But praise God that there's people who have that talent. We need that here. Do we have people that can just offer a kind word at the right time? Yeah. Putting up this stuff isn't much. All they do is throw a thing on there, put up a couple banners. Well, praise God, they do that. They're pretty good at it. Does it take any talent to run the soundboard? I can turn it on. And I can turn people up or down. But by the way, if you've never seen that thing, don't go up there. When you turn that thing on, everything goes automatically into a position. And what really weird was when I was there, and I was sitting back there, and they were having praise practice, and I'm just looking around, and all of a sudden, there's about three sliders that just move. And I'm going, well, that's kind of weird. Except he's up here on this little paddy thing moving everything. It takes a gift. It takes a talent to do the computer, to do numbers, to count the money, to take care of little kids. God has gifted each and every person here in some way or another. So each person here, God has blessed. And he has done that for a specific purpose. It's for you. He needs something done, and he let you do it. Are you going to continue? Martha's a go-getter. Mary says, be flexible. Enjoy life. Martha says, if you want something done, ask me. Mary says, you make me tired. You make me tired just looking at it. So which one is correct, Martha or Mary? I'll give you the answer according to Scripture. The correct answer is Martha. She was the doer. She's the right person. Oh, yeah. But according to Scripture, Mary's the correct one. So as we look at these two sisters completely different, we have to realize they're perfect. They're doing what God has gifted them to do. There's one verse that we'll get to maybe this week in Bible study. It comes out of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You probably know it. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do Marthas have the pleasure or the privilege of coming up to Mary's and going, why don't you get up and do something? Marthas do not have that capability. Why? It's because no one should be condemning them for sitting at the feet of Jesus. Do Marys have the privilege of saying, those Marthas, they get so busy they can't pay attention to the Lord? You don't get to do that either, because they're busy for the Lord. We do not have the right to condemn what another person does or does not do. But those people make up the church. It's okay to be different, as long as the important thing is Jesus Christ. He has to be the focus of why you are doing what you're doing. Mary's and Martha's, each one here is one. But the important thing is, what are you going to do with how God has blessed you? He has made no mistakes. He has created you exactly the way he needs you to do what he has desired for you to do. Ladies, would you please stand? Guys, there's this little thing that is not too difficult to do. You don't have to say anything, but it's a real pick-me-up. It goes like this. Thank you. You don't get to sit yet. You're the main reason why your family is the way your family is. You have blessed your families. You probably have led some of them into the kingdom by the way that you have lived your life. You're good moms, good women. Thank you. Do not be closed-minded about what God has in store for you. Don't ever get to the point where you say, this is all God's given me and I can't give no more. Well, God's always in the process of changing people. You may be a Martha today and become a Mary tomorrow, because that's what God needs. Don't be so stubborn that you go, this is who I am, this is what you get. God's purpose is what's the most important thing. Why do you do what you do? There's a thing that takes place, especially in the Old Testament. And we don't do it much anymore. Matter of fact, you don't even see it a lot in the New Testament, but you do see it a lot in the Old Testament, is that they give or pass out a blessing. That blessing actually in the Old Testament was, most of the time it was prophecy, that what I'm blessing you with is going to be what happens in your future. This is how you'll live your life. This is who you're going to be because of this blessing. Prime example, Isaac, Jacob and Esau, they were all blessed and they lived their life a certain way because of that blessing. And at this time, I'm going to ask that our heads be bowed. Ladies, thank you for who you are and how you love Jesus, because that's the most important thing.